My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to Judd's Hockey Show. Judd Zolgad, executive producer, co-host, jack of all trades, Declan Goff. And yes, the at least if you're a Wild fan, the offseason has begun. And it's going to be a brief one and a very busy one for Bill Guerin and the boys in St. Paul. And Declan, one of the most important things we're going to be talking about into the month of July is the upcoming NHL expansion draft involving the Seattle Kraken. And the fact that each team has to submit in the coming month a protected list for the expansion draft, which is going to be held in, I believe it's late July. Mm-hmm. All right. So here's what we got on this. We've got, first of all, the explanation of what the options are for each team as they submit their protected list.
Yep.
Their options are they can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and a goaltender, or 8 skaters, so forward or defenseman, and you still have to protect a goaltender. So I think what we should do on this show is get really geeky and in-depth about what we think the Wild is going to do, what path we think they're going to travel as far as the protected list, and also who we think is going to be on that protected list. You know, we did this during the course of the regular season a few times, and I think in the few times that we did it, we shifted our views a little bit as players as their performances ebbed and flowed, shall I say. But now the games are done. The decisions are going to have to be made. There's no getting a third or fourth look at guys. So I'd like to start with you, because I'm curious what you, if you are Bill Guerin, and, you know, since he is a friend of the show, I'm sure you'll be sharing this with him.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll be sharing this information with Bill Guerin.
Yes.
I'm curious what path you would take and who you would protect if you were the Minnesota Wild GM.
So I'm going the 7-3-1 route. There was some talk, obviously, earlier this season that it might be more beneficial to do the 8-skater-1-goalie route. I think with the way things are shaking out right now, you go the 7-3-1. And for me, obviously, you have to protect Parisian Zuccarello because they are the no-movement clauses of your forwards. So I protect the following forwards, Judd, in my 7-3-1 format.
Okay.
I protect Zach Parise, Matt Zuccarello, Kevin Fiala, Joel Eriksson-Ek, Marcus Foligno, Nico Sturm, Jordan Greenway. Those are my 7 forwards I protect.
Okay.
Meaning, I am exposing, well, and then actually, I'll bury the lead a little bit. Bury the lead a little bit. My 3 defensemen are the 3 defensemen that have to do with the no-movement clause. So these are just a given. So Suter, Spurgeon, Brody, and probably should have been more specific about that. Yep, they all have to be protected because of their no-movement clauses. So that's my 3 defenseman, and then I'm protecting Cam Talbot. Mm-hmm. I know it might be more wiser, and there could be a better case. Maybe you should just protect Kapo because he's younger. The ceiling is still could be there. At the same time, I don't run the risk of losing Kapo Kakinen and being too worried about that. It doesn't have a high level of concern. There's some concern there, but it doesn't have a high level of concern for me. So that means of the players that I have protected, I'm exposing the following Wild players. Matt Dumba, Carson Soucy, Ryan Hartman, Kapo Kakinen. Those are your notable, I guess you should say, notable players that are up for disposal. And Victor Rask.
And then there's another teaser. There was a tease made during Mackey and Judd. So write that down. Yes.
That's my protected list. Now, Judd, would you like to give me the prediction? If I'm Ron Francis and Bill Guerin, what do I think shakes down and what the Wild end up giving up to the Kraken? Would you like that right now? Or would you like me to save what I think happens?
Well, first of all, I will tell you right now that your protected list and my protected list right now, identical.
Oh, are they?
Okay. Identical. Now, the Greenway one is interesting because I do have to admit that I thought long and hard about him. Like, do I want to protect him or not? But here's why, ultimately, it's not that hard for me to expose Dumba. Who of course could be traded before the expansion draft in real life, and therefore if he's traded, he'll be somebody else's problem. Here's the difference for me between going 8 skaters and protecting Dumba and going 7-3-1, which I did too, and did the exact same thing that you did. It comes down to dollars and cents. Dumba for the next 2 seasons, so 2021-22, 2022-23. Okay. Has a $6 million cap hit for each of those 2 years. Jordan Greenway for 2021-22, so the upcoming season that will start when training camp's due in September, I believe, has a $2.1 million cap hit, and then he's an RFA who you have to make a decision on after that. But the point being is Dumba didn't play well enough or didn't justify to me keeping that cap hit. And it's not that Greenway is yet consistent, but the salary itself and the difference in the potential cap hits is enough that made my decision easier just based on that. Sure. And so, because I wavered on Dumba and have for a long time, a lot. But I told you during the course of the playoffs against the Golden Knights, if it's done, it's done. Like, I just can't. The payoff that I keep thinking you're going to get consistently, well, and it's true of Jordan, too. But the payoff that you think you're going to keep getting consistently from Dumba just does not come. And your blue line without him is still pretty doggone good. Like, when the starting point is Spurgeon, who's really good, Brodin, who I absolutely adore. And I know there were some struggles there, but still, he's a very consistent player. And Suter is still good. Dumba's inability to be consistent to me and the salary combined are why I am exposing him and deciding to protect Greenway, because it saves me. It gives me more cash to work with towards the cap as I look to fill holes, and potentially to get a guy like Ian Cole back, who I think on and off the ice brings something special. So that's why I'm exposing Dumba.
Yeah. And that's kind of where I'm at too. I could really see it. I think it's more likely Dumba gets moved before this expansion draft takes place, so it's one less headache for Bill Guerin. Because I don't think he'll just lose him for nothing. I don't think he'll just expose him necessarily. That's where I have how I have this shaking down is a little different, and it's a little off the cusp. But you can't protect him. There's no situation really because of the movement clause of your other three defensemen. There's really no path
unless you went eight skaters.
Unless you went eight skaters. But I don't really protect him, and I don't want to do eight skaters.
Yeah, and I also think that the Kraken, at the end of the day, because of what Dumba's cap hit is, I wouldn't be shocked if they took Soucy. Because Carson Soucy, I think, is going to turn into a pretty solid defenseman. You're going to know what you're getting. Unless you thought that you could take Dumba and spin him yourself, which, as we just talked about, Bill Guerin might do before Seattle gets their chance to do that. As far as Ryan Hartman goes, okay, signed to a new contract, I love what he's brought. I think that he has delivered more bang for the Wild's buck than they ever could have expected when they signed him.
Absolutely.
I believe he had gone from the Blackhawks to the Flyers for a cup of coffee in Philadelphia for a playoff run. But he's been fantastic, and he's done everything that you could possibly ask. I don't think the Kraken take him, do you? I just don't. I don't think they're going to look at that list of Dumba and Soucy and Hartman and Kapo and say, let's take Ryan Hartman.
Hartman's the least likely to be claimed of those four players. Like, it's not even close. And I like Ryan Hartman a lot. To your point, I think he's delivered a lot of value for the minimum amount of salary he's been paid. He's earned throughout his Wild tenure, and he's developed a nice little niche role player role. He was obviously elevated to a top role playing with Kirill Kaprizov, and he probably, and theoretically, probably shouldn't be that kind of player playing with Kaprizov. That being said, I like his energy. I like what he brings. And I'm not concerned exposing him, because I would be shocked if Seattle took him.
All right. So you teased it.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about it,
mm-hmm.
but you didn't tell us yet. Pay off the Mackie and Judd tease on Write That Down. You have some sort of plan that's going to land Victor Rask in Phil Mackey's hometown.
Yes, I do. All right. So here's Seattle.
Washington.
Here's what I think happens. I think there's going to be there won't be as many, but there'll be more under the table deals that happen with Vegas where, hey, we'll trade you this stuff or trade you this player so you don't take this player from expansion draft. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think happens. So I think Dumba will be on the exposed list and he is open to being taken. But instead, Billy Guerin calls up his old buddy, Ron Francis. They go way back. They're buddies. He's mentioned it before. They're friends.
Former Hartford Whaler, yeah. Ronnie Francis. A Hartford Whaler, great.
A lot of respect between these two. A lot of respect, yeah, between these two.
Yeah. I love Ronnie Francis.
At the risk of not lose of losing Dumba for nothing, here's what Billy says to his old buddy Ron Francis. He goes, "All right, Ronnie." I think they call him Ronnie.
Calls him Ronnie.
Ronnie, here's what we're gonna do.
Francie.
I got 2 first-round picks in my disposal for you. I think you're gonna be like what, picks 21 and 25. They're gonna be within 5 picks of one.
Yeah,
another.
I think it's 21 and later than that, actually. Mm-hmm. But yes, correct. The Pittsburgh pick.
So here's what I'm gonna do for you, Mr. Francis. I'll give you the second of my first round picks. You also will take Victor Rask off my hands, and you'll take Carson Soucy in the expansion draft. So I'm basically saying, I'm going to give you a first-round pick. I'm going to give you Victor Rask, who you, Ron Francis, signed to that contract, and Bill Guerin has been talking up a storm about in the offseason that it's a misconception, and he has a lot of respect for Ron Francis, who gave him that initial contract. This was a guy who scored 20 former goals. And then they also take Carson Soucy from the expansion draft, to give them at least a good player. So this is my prediction. Rask goes to Seattle with a first-round pick, and then the Kraken also take Carson Soucy. Therefore, you don't lose Matt Dumba for absolutely nothing. I think that's what happens. And keep in mind this very important caveat that, yes, I don't want to be in the position of sacrificing draft picks, but if it frees up $8 million and Victor Rask for the 25th, 26th overall pick, I can hear that deal. So that's what I do. That's what I do. And, okay. And I know Michael Russo hinted at this in his Athletic blog as well. I want this on the record. Michael Russo is a friend of the show. Him and I talk every once in a while. I thought about this before I read the article. I thought about this idea before I read the article. And Russo is thinking of it too. Just great minds thinking alike. I'm not throwing Russo under the bus. I'm just telling you, Victor Rask in a first to Seattle, and then they take Carson Soucy. That's what I think goes down.
All right. A Judd's Hockey Show, write this down. Write that down, okay?
Okay.
You take what you just said, and I will give you my prediction.
Okay.
Because I don't think that Bill Guerin's going to part with either first-round pick. I think he values the ability to continue to build the system. I think before the expansion draft, he trades Dumba for less than we think. Like, I think our perception is, oh, you're taking Dumba to the market. You're going to get a ton for it. You know, you're going to get, he's Brent Burns all over again. You're going to get more. I think he trades Dumba. He doesn't get back as much as we expect him to, but he still gets back something which beats zero return from the Kraken. All right. I think the Kraken then takes Soucy. I don't think Rask, like, I like this idea, but I don't believe Bill Guerin is going to trade a first round draft pick. And I know that they have two, so there's a case to be made that the Pittsburgh pick is later and not as attractive. But I think this team has done, for the first time in a long time, a really good job scouting guys.
Yeah.
And they have replenished a farm system that a few years back was basically barren. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that Bill Guerin is going to get in the habit of trading first round picks. So I think he trades Dumba. He keeps the first round pick that they got in the Pittsburgh Zucker trade, and Carson Soucy, who to me is like a expansion staple guy, because he'll be good there, and
yeah,
he'll be top four there.
He's a solid player.
He gets taken, and the Wild privately goes away happy. That's my guess. Because I also think the Guerin administration, if I may call it that, I think the Guerin administration has enough confidence in itself to find talent in the draft that they value first round picks more than the Fletcher administration seems.
Yes.
To. But I mean, I like your prediction. Write both of those down and see if either one of us comes close to being right.
Okay. I think we're
clear. I do like your prediction.
I think we're clearly, on the same page that Carson Soucy seems like the most likely one to take, or there's some type of behind the door deal or situation where the Dumba acquisition is heightened to not lose him for nothing. And to your point of, I don't think it's just you and I having a higher perception, and Wild fans too, of Matt Dumba's market on the trade. I think it's the league's perception. I don't think the league truly values him as much as we do, and that's not, and
they don't.
We're in lockstep there, but the league, yep. I think there is a misconception that the league does not value him as highly regarded as a lot of us think he should. And look, to be honest, a lot of that has to do with his pectoral injury, I still think he's a dangerous, dynamic player. Most teams would love him on their top unit. Most teams would love him on their top power play point. But at the same time, he makes $6 million, and the goal output has not been the same since the pec injury. So I would be pretty shocked. My biggest thing with this expansion draft is if you can get Victor Rask off your hands, you can get Matt Dumba off your hands, all of a sudden, Judd, that $22 million that the Wild had to play with right now, that turns into $10 million more. That turns down to 32. Yeah.
And that's huge. The Rask thing would be nice. I just don't think Guerin's going to trade first round picks.
I believe the Wild love the idea.
Anything to get rid of Victor Rask, I am going to approve of. I'm not going to complain.
I believe the Wild have the most picks within the first 90. I think they have five or six selections.
And I think they're going to be aggressively trying to, they've done a really good job in the last 2 or 3 years now of actually getting depth, which they did not do for, I mean, God bless them. Chuck's chasing of a Stanley Cup championship, which of course the team didn't come close to, cost them a lot of draft picks. I mean, Chuck was throwing in draft picks like it was going out of style for a while.
He did.
And I appreciate the aggressiveness at the time. Unfortunately, it didn't come close to working, but it also got to a point where in the rankings of the prospects in farm systems throughout teams in the league, the Wild was awful for a while. Yep. And now it doesn't look like that.
Yeah, the Wild's prospects are now coming up for the first time, and they got a lot of pieces at play. This is going to be a fun summer. I really think it's going to be a fun summer.
Oh, it's going to be a great summer. Are you kidding? Yeah, it's going to be quick, too.
And you and I have other off-season topics I know we're going to get into on other future episodes on possible trade candidates, centers you want to target. You know, you and I have already broached the thought, much to my chagrin, of Kevin Fiala possibly being on the move to get you that piece. We'll save that nugget probably for a later day. But at the same time, it's going to be a fun summer, dude. This is going to be probably the most fun off season in Wild for the Wild since the Parise Suter era.
Right, because they're doing something. Like they're building.
They're on the
coast. I want to talk about the decision that we both made, which I believe shifted from the first time that we did our own expansion protection list for the Wild at goaltender. Because I believe we both initially early on said Capo.
Yeah,
we did. Cam was good, Cam Talbot showed you so much, in my opinion, late in the season, and then especially the playoffs, where he was, for the most part, fantastic. My concern would be if you don't protect him, Seattle takes him and tries to flip him at some point, because that would be my worry, is that the Kraken would take him and try and make a move eventually with him, because he showed enough in the playoffs where it was impressive. If they take Capo, that's a tough break, but here's the difference, and here's where the price of poker to me has changed. The Wild should be really competitive this coming season. Like this was fun, and certainly in the pandemic shortened season decks, they had unexpected success, which was a lot of fun, right? And the playoff appearance was fun, disappointing, but I mean, heck, they're down 3-1. They won two games. They forced a seventh and deciding game. All that's great. But when they start training camp in 2021-22, there's going to be an expectation this team is successful.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to be like, I hope they can make the playoffs. Oh my goodness, they made the playoffs easily. It's going to be, they're going back to the Central Division. The expectation is going to be playoff berth. And again, we're now to the point where the expectation decks is going to be playoff berth, and it's going to be playoff run. Like, at some point in time, this franchise has to make a playoff run, right?
That's true.
That's not unfair to say. No. It's not like, I hope they can get to the first round again, but then they're going to get waxed. We are now entering the territory. If they can do what they need to at the center position with Kaprizov and, you know, Fiala, let's just assume he's back now, this team has the ability to make a playoff run. And by run, I don't mean late first round. I mean conference finals.
So that
being said, Cam Talbot becomes a very important part of this team, because you have to have a guy who's experienced in goal and has shown himself to be that guy. And I thought Cam Talbot did a lot of things that proved to me this past season that he has the potential to be that guy. So I have shifted my expectation and thought process on Cam Talbot and Kaapo Kakkonen based on that, based on the fact that nobody should be happy if as the season approaches next fall, we're saying, man, it's going to be fun again, right? No, it should be fun. It needs to be fun. And it needs to be, and there needs to be a realistic anticipation that when you have 97 on the ice, you can make a playoff run. And of course, we all know one of the most important things to a playoff run, as we're seeing again, is goaltending.
Yep. And look, Kapo could turn into Darcy Kemper. Darcy Kemper's carved out a nice career now. Darcy Kemper's a pretty capable goaltender. Is he like
Canadian
a solidified
goaltender for the world championship gold medal winning team that started 0-3, Declan?
That's right.
He was playing in the worlds.
Is he a solidified 1A, like a number, true number one? Maybe. Debatable.
But your point's spot on. You can't take the chance.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm with you in lockstep here. You can't take the chance.
But at the same time, if Talbot has solidified things for the next few years, you have at least a decent shot that, is it Mason Jones or
Martin Jones?
Not Martin Jones. They're the Wild's goaltending prospect
who I can't think of.
No, I want nothing to do with Martin Jones.
Talking about Martin Jones. I was going to say, don't do drugs during the
No, 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 no. I would never do such a thing. Basically, the Wild's goaltending for right now is fixed. I'm not saying that Cam Talbot at 31 is going to be playing out of his mind into his mid to late 30s through the duration of his contract. But at the same time, you have your goaltending figured out right now, and that's a good thing. So I'm not too concerned of losing Kaapo Kähkönen because I know I'm getting in Cam Talbot. And if your answer, well, who backs up Cam Talbot? You find a backup goaltender. Finding a backup goaltender is the easiest thing to do. So that wouldn't be an issue for the Wild. So if they lose Kaapo, if they end up losing Kaapo Kähkönen, I don't think it's going to be him. But if they do, I'm not losing sleep over that. I'm not losing sleep over that because I'm trying to get this team over the hump. And being concerned about losing a 24-year-old potentially down the road, 2 or 3 years from now, your next goalie 1A, well, now you're subtracting the process of what you're trying to get to, and you're splitting hairs. And unfortunately, too, with a lot of sports, you can't have it all these ways. You know, like a lot of people like Matt Dumba. You might lose him this summer. A lot of people like Nino, Granlund, and Coyle. You lost them. Like, that's just you get gravitation, you get fan interest in players, and that's totally okay. That's what being a sports fan is all about. But there's also a harsh reality of this business that most likely your favorite player is going to play for another team. That's just kind of how it goes.
Yeah. And Kaapo, who I like a lot, and when given an opportunity this past season, I thought played really well. The issue is the message to the locker room can't be, we think he's good. Like, Talbot's a known commodity, right? And if Kaapo gets taken, you are going to have to go out probably and find a goaltender that you trust, because backup goaltenders now are far more important than they were 25, 30 years ago. But that being said, my message to the locker room can't be, well, yeah, we lost Cam, but hopefully Kaapo, fingers crossed, right? So anyway, I don't think my list is going to change.
I doubt it.
I don't think Parisi or Suter, Zuccarello, I don't know. I don't think Parisi or Suter are going to waive their no move clauses to be unprotected, which would help you a ton. But you know what? One of my biggest storylines or points of interest for the coming months before the season starts is Parisi. And like, where is that relationship at? Because Bill Guerin in his season ending press conference decks talked about it and, you know, was open publicly towards Zach returning and maybe Zach can come back. And Dex, I just don't see, and I know a buyout hurts. Like, I know it hurts and it puts you financially and cap wise, especially with the potential for a flat cap for 5 years, in a bit of a bind. But I just don't see internally how you bring Zach back.
Mm-mm.
And I know that they could, but here's the thing. Okay, if you bring him back and he agrees to come back and he agrees to be a good sport, and I mean, this is a guy who has power as long as he's here. In that locker room with his teammates, Zach Parisi is a name. Like, he's a big deal. If he agrees to come back, Declan, I think you have to almost promise him third line playing time consistently. Because, like, let's say he's like, you know what, all is forgiven, which I don't think he will.
Yeah.
But let's just play this hypothetical out, okay? So he's like, you know what, I didn't like it. I was really embarrassed, didn't appreciate it, but I'll come back. And they're like, you are a third line left winger, Zach Parisi. And he's like, okay, that's cool. They scratched him for the playoffs. They scratched him consistently late in the regular season. That to me points to, and by the way, before that, fourth line. So that points to me towards, I don't know, January, December, right? It's all of a sudden like, you know, Zach, we're going to put you on the fourth line. And then it's going to be, you know, Zach, why don't you spend a couple of games in the press box? And that's where it goes sideways. And that's where I think we need to, in fairness to the situation, talk about chemistry. The chemistry in any sport's important. The chemistry in hockey can be hugely important. And it's certainly a lack of that chemistry caused some problems between the old young group of Zucker and Coyle, Granlund, and the Parisis and Suitors and Stalls. So I don't see how, if you're Bill Guerin and you totally get the importance of chemistry, how you would be willing to take that chance with a team that's expected to be good. Mm-hmm. So that's why I don't see a path towards Zach being back. And I actually see, worst case, Guerin having to swallow very hard and write the check to buy Zach out. I don't know how you get around it. I don't know, unless you can promise Zach he's going to play every game and be third line, because the second he gets scratched again, you got real issues.
Here's my three most likely outcomes when it comes to Zach Parise. I think buyout's number one. I think buyout's the most likely option.
Yes, and it's probably the least it might be the least, attractive. But I'm with you.
Most likely situations, right. He's bought out. Number two, he's traded. Because you can probably trade him, but then you also take on most likely a bad contract. You're still then also taking on money. And if he retires early with that new team, the Wild get caught with casualties.
And here's my question that was brought up by a person I've been talking to in the past couple of days. That's a really good point. Okay, at one time he waived the no move clause for a trade to the Islanders at the deadline a year ago, March, right?
Yep.
But after he feels that you screwed him, mm-hmm. there's a chance he's going to say, no,
right.
I'm not going to waive it.
Right.
I'm not going to help you. Like this becomes either I come back and potentially make your life miserable or you buy me out.
Yep.
Because that's what he wants.
Yep.
He wants to be bought out.
So that's why I think he most likely gets bought out. Either is traded. And then the third option, he's on the roster opening night. Basically, what I'm saying is, I don't see any path where he's on the Wild's roster opening night at this point. He can say all the nice things. Guerin can give us some executive speech there. That's okay. And again, I don't care that he scored some goals in the playoff series, and I don't want to ever go back to a point where if he played in games 1, 2, or 3, maybe the Wild win. You push the team to game 7, you push them to a 7th game, and they were a better team. That is why you lost. The refs weren't working against you. You couldn't score a goal. Your superstar was shut out, not because Zach Parise was scratched for the first 3 games. Move along, people. Move along.
Well, but the other thing, too, is if Zach hadn't been scratched, he's not effective in those last 3 or 4 games he played in. 4 games, right?
Yeah.
Because he is worn out. Look at Zach Parise. All you have to do, look at his game log, hockeyreference.com.
Great website.
Look at his game log when he came back from his COVID hiatus, because he's effective immediately. Like he got back in, boom, you know, boom, boom, boom. Zach Parise's back, right? Look at the 9 games before they started to scratch him at the end of the regular season. No points. Why? Because he's older, he wears down, and he's not fast enough. So the weirdest thing is getting him back when they did in the playoffs actually helped him a ton. Because of the respite.
Right.
So, this whole thing of, well, if Zach had been playing the whole time. And look, I like the guy. And there was a time, you know, Zach Parise in the last 4 games against the Golden Knights played like he did at times when he was a younger, really effective player, because he still has skills. But we're talking about a guy that wears down now. And he's been beaten to hell. Like, I keep going back to that. This is not a condemnation of Zach Parise. Zach Parise's career has been made largely because, one, he's a very good player, or was a very good player, and two, he works his ass off, and he gets beat up. He goes to the front of the net, gets his ass kicked, goes to the corners, gets his ass kicked, right? It catches up to you. He's 36, I believe, now. He'll be 37 at some point in time, I think, over the summer. So that's the point. That's the point. But I just don't see how this ends with him back here, because Bill Guerin would basically be taking a potential can of gasoline to the locker room and lighting a match, and you don't know what's going to happen. So
correct.
It's just very important to me that you stabilize things for guys like Fiala and Kaprizov and that group. And you need to get away from the old school Wild, which was a lot of behind the scenes stuff, shall we say.
Yep. Yep.
Final thoughts? You got anything else for me?
Yeah, well, you know, just really quickly as we wrap up here, you know, you sent a prep note to me. Would you like me to amend? You asked me if I wanted to amend my Stanley Cup pick. I don't know what you're talking. My Isles are a game away from going to the Eastern
Top 4. That note was to both of us, Declan. That note was to both of us. Do we want to amend our Stanley Cup picks?
No. My Isles are
I pick Colorado. Yeah. In trouble.
My Isles are sitting pretty. Oh, and it is. And some Wild fans, shout out to my guy, Ben Remington. He pointed this out, former of Giles and the goalie. How many Wild fans are now actively rooting against Vegas because they got beat when now they're rooting for Colorado, who Wild fans, you can probably make the case, it is their most hated rival. It's to me, as a puppet master of just watching this unfold, it's hilarious to me. Just the identity of watching and what I think are two really fun teams in Vegas and Colorado. Like it's a no lose situation. Like I don't care who wins that series because it's a fun series. I'm just enjoying it, and I'm not looking at it as a, oh God, I hope Colorado just sticks it to them. Or what the hell? Like what you lost to a better team. That's what happened. You just lost to a better team. And there's no shame in admitting that. It's hilarious to me.
And so you're going to have both those teams in the Western Conference next year. The Avs will be back in the Central with the Wild. The Golden Knights will be in the West. But still, if you are a Wild fan, this series is great to watch.
It is.
But watch it closely, because this is what you're going to have to beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, as you're currently constructed, you don't have the speed.
You don't.
And as was pointed out by, I believe it was Nick Terhar on Twitter.
Your buddy,
and
man.
I was thinking the exact same thing. And Nick is very observant. He's very good. But he hit it right on the head with this observation. When we say speed, don't just watch the skating, because that's phenomenal too. I mean, Cale Makar, MacKinnon, it's great. Watch the puck movement. Watch how quickly these guys move the puck. The passing is precision based. That's the thing to me. Like, watch a Wild game and then watch an Avs or Golden Knights game when they're really flying, and look at what they can do as far as not just individuals in zone entries, which is impressive by itself, but watch the actual puck movement through the neutral zone. That's what you got to get to. And look, Kaprizov can do it. Fiala, I think. But when we talk about a center, when we talk about ability to move the puck, that's what makes this, the overall speed is what blows me away about watching the Golden Knights and Habs.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been a fun playoff, honestly. All the postseason matchups for the most part.
I think Montreal's going to get absolutely cooked by Colorado or the Golden Knights, don't you?
Yes, I do.
I think that train runs out of gas. They basically play four defensemen, and this is basically such an indictment of Canada. The North Division stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they scored a ton of goals and played some fun games.
Yep, no, it's bad.
But my God, the Edmonton Oilers were swept by the Jets, who were swept by the Canadians. Yep. The Maple Leafs lost. How do the Edmonton Oilers with McDavid and Dreisaitl, how do you get swept?
I know, dude.
How do you get swept? And look, Montreal, God bless them, they ain't exactly fast.
No.
And Eric Staal, who, by the way, got traded by Buffalo to Montreal and did not play well, has been a really solid fourth-line player in the playoffs for the Canadiens. Watch Eric Staal skate, though. I mean, it is sundial time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, all right, that's it. For us, we'll be back, a couple weeks?
Yeah, well, maybe next week, or a couple weeks.
What's the plan on John? You're the executive producer.
Let me gather with my executives in the boardroom, and I'll figure out what's the best. All the executives.
Declan 1 and Declan 2?
Yeah.
Declan 1 and Declan 2. All right, Judd's Hockey Show, do your thing.
Pass, shoot, score.